This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, we're in a series of lessons on fighting the good fight of faith, and our foundational text is in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, we already know that eternal life here is a very broad word, a dynamic word. It means more than just going to heaven, but it has to do with quality of life, including going to heaven. So the Bible says it's to the degree that we release our faith for it, that we will lay hold on it. We're dealing with specific areas of faith fights that our members have, and so we passed out cards at the beginning of this series, and our members identified various areas of challenges that they were going through so we could address them with the Word of God. Now, the particular challenge that we're looking at now is the challenge of sin, fighting the faith fight to overcome sin in your life, sin and the addiction to misbehavior. I knew we're going to be a lot of amens on that one. That's, you know, I knew, but it's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Now, go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, because it is very important that we understand, yes, we're saved by grace. Yes, we're on our way to heaven. But we cannot afford to live our lives trapped in sin. We cannot afford to live our lives bound by sin. And so there is a misbehavior in our lives that God forgives us of. But we also found out last time that opens the door, and it opens the door for the devil to encamp in our lives and really cause our lives to be miserable. There in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, that means have a lifestyle of sin, is the servant of sin. So the freedom that he's talking about is us living free from being the servant of sin. In other words, living free of compulsive desires to sin. Now, of course, it's not a real popular message. Most people don't want to talk about sin, that sort of thing. Most people want a real good message. Don't give me, to teach me how to use my faith to get me a house, get me a car, da-da-da-da-da. But if you got a house and a car and you can't win over the devil, you're not going to enjoy it anyway. Now, go with me your Bibles. Now, this is a very, very important passage that you need to see. Turn with me your Bibles now to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, and I think that it will lend itself to understanding the importance of a lesson like this. Because, like I said, it's not a real gleeful, joyous lesson. Y'all shouted on last week, and everybody had a good time last week. But now we've got to get to the nuts and bolts of actually dealing with the issue. Amen? All right, verse 25, Jeremiah 5, 25, it says, your iniquities. Now, those of you who may be with us for the first time and, may have a difficult time finding the scripture, don't worry about it. You just write the scripture down, and you keep up with it as best as you can. And there are those who may be sitting next to you who will find the scripture, and they'll let you look on with them because they are mature Christians. Amen. They won't find the scripture and open their Bible to try to embarrass you and go, now I got it. They won't do that. So then, as you begin to come and begin to use your word, use the Bible, you become more proficient at it. Everybody in walking here, turning their Bibles like they do now. All right. Now, look at verse 25. It says, your iniquities have taken away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. The Amplified says this way, your iniquities have turned these blessings away, and your sins have kept good harvest from you. So I understand that sin in my life is going to keep me from walking in God's best. So if I'm going to walk in God's best, I got to get the sin out of my life. Your enthusiasm overwhelms me. All right, let me give you another witness then. Turn with your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Because it's important that I know that even though I am saved by grace, on my way to heaven, the devil can't keep me out of heaven. I got to understand that I cannot walk in God's best with sin in my life. God wants me to live a holy life, and you can do it. All right, look at verse 13. It says, I'm in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not, oh, come on, say it. Now, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. So the Bible says a man who covers his sin, a man who doesn't, who will not, you know, admit his sin and quit it and live for God, the Bible says there's not going to be any divine prosperity in your life, not according to God's plan. So it's important for me to get victory over the over sin. Now, go with me in your Bibles. Let's look at another passage here in 1 Peter chapter 2, because we need to explain why sin is so addictive. Even when you know it's not right, even when you want to, when you said you're going to quit, even when you want to quit, even when you know it's destructive, even after you prayed about it, why is it that you can't stop? And that is because when I open the door of my life to the devil and I began to commit sin, he gets placed in the soulish area of my life. And that's something that most people don't understand. And so it's not as easy as 1 John 1:9, we can confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Something else is happening there. There is an encroachment of the devil. The devil has taken place in my life. He's now dominated my thinking. And that is why I can't quit. And that is the cause of the addiction. Verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Abstain from it, which war against the soul. Now, we know God has created us tripartite in nature, body, soul, and spirit. We are spirit beings, live on the inside of physical bodies, and we possess a soul. Now, my soul, it has five components: my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, and my intellect. And when the devil is dominating my soul, then he's dominated my mind, how I reason. And that's why folk, they do crazy things, you understand? I mean, they do crazy things. They do real crazy things, you know? And, I'm trying to be real nice, you know? Let me just move on. Just do crazy things. Now, y'all just want me to go there. See, they reason in their mind certain things, you know, reason in their mind, I can have safe sex. But see, when you get hot, you don't care about no condom. Oh. See, y'all got my business all squirming now, see? Well, my business squirming. But thing is, see, my reasoning is off. That's why when your reasoning is off, that's why a woman will sell her body and go get her money to a pimp. And he cuss her and kick her. Reasoning is off. You understand? That's a reason why people do what they do. And when the devil when he's dominated my thinking, I don't make good decisions. Amen. So even though I know people are dying from crack, then I go do it anyway. My thinking is off. Are you listening to me? Because when the devil dominates my soulish error, he's dominated my mind, my will, I can't quit, my imagination. I close my eyes and I still see dirty pictures. It's like those images are imprinted on my mind. I want to stop. I don't want to go back. I don't want to look at pornography. I said I wasn't going to do it, but yet there I am again at the computer terminal searching the web. Oh, God, I need to get quiet. I know he's going to get quiet. I told you this wasn't one old lesson, you understand? But this is a lesson you need, because you need to know how to get free, and you can get free God's way. My mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions. So you're chasing after somebody else's husband. And you know that. You know ain't no future in that. He is not going to quit his wife for you. He's not going to do it. But I love him. I know you do, baby. I know, but you got to get over that. That's a perverted love. Y'all laughing, but y'all know I'm telling the truth. See, I believe in hitting the real issues of life. I ain't gonna front like everything is happy. You happy and I'm happy. No, people are going through real challenges. They dress up, they camouflage it, but underneath the skin, folk are really hurting. And they don't know how to get free. And the Bible says if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And the good news is there is a plan in the Word of God whereby you can walk free so that nothing will interfere with the quality of life that God wants you to have in the earth. Ooh. Amen. All right, y'all gonna work a brother today. All right, now watch this. Go with me to your Bibles now, because go to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Two simple points. Point number one is how to recognize a satanic ambush when the devil tries to ambush you. And an ambush is a military tactic where you find a strategic hiding place to make a surprise attack. And most folk are blind, most Christians are blindsided by the devil because most folk don't preach sermons on the devil. So you don't know enough about the devil to fight and win. And most believers are afraid of the devil because all they know about the devil is what they see on television and on the movies. And on the movies on television, the devil always wins. So most people are afraid of the devil. When it ought to be just the opposite. The Bible says we have power over him. But if nobody ever explains it to you, show you in the Word of God, you will not have the confidence that you need to have to face the issues of life. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, and watch this in verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4, for the devil to win, you have to be a participant. What? All right, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Neither, he can't take it, I have to give it to him. In other words, when the devil encroaches or encamps on my soul, it's like whatever area he's dominating, it's only because I'm ignorant as a believer and I let him have that place. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, because I need to know how to get beyond this. I need to know how to get beyond it. Now, there are several stories in the Bible that we looked at and that we are going to draw our truths from. One story is the story of the demoniac of Gadara. And the Bible talks about him. I like to call him the crazy man of the neighborhood. And he was a guy who ran around half naked and hollered and screamed in the cemetery all night, stayed in the cemetery. They'd go and get him out of the cemetery and bring him home and dress him up and chain him and put ropes around him. Then the demons would rise up in him. He'd break the chains, break the ropes, and run back and, you know, take his clothes off, run back to the neighborhood, back to the graveyard. And then there in the graveyard, he'd take stones and he would cut himself. And he would scream and holler night and day. And then one day Jesus comes on the scene. He sees Jesus and something on the inside of him wants to be free. And Jesus ministered to him, cast the devil out of him. And the Bible says he was then clothed and in his right mind. His mind was restored. His behavior was totally altered by the power of God. Another story is the story of a woman who comes to Jesus, and she was a Canaanite woman. She comes to Jesus and she says, Jesus, my daughter is vexed by the devil. Now, that word vexed is a very dynamic word. It has to do with being seriously tormented. We don't know the extent of the torment, but we do know it was serious enough for her to seek out Jesus. So Jesus says to her, no, this what you're asking me for is a privilege for the children. And she said, well, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table, the children's crumbs. You know, she said, there's enough grace, enough power in the crumbs of the benefit of the children to help me in my situation. Then the Bible says Jesus marveled at her faith and then declared that her daughter would be made whole. Even though he was not physically in the presence of her daughter, he was able to cast that spirit out of her. All right, third story that we looked at as we drew these points is a story of a man who brings his son to Jesus. And he brings his son to Jesus because the disciples had attempted to minister to this boy, and the boy was an epileptic, and he would have convulsions and these things like that. And the disciples tried to minister to him and couldn't. And the Bible says then they brought the boy to Jesus. So that means just because somebody else has failed in ministry and it didn't happen does not mean that that's not the will of God. See, the man could have said, well, since they've already prayed and it doesn't happen, it must be the will of God for him to stay like this. But no, that man knew that that was not the will of God. Brings him to Jesus, and the Bible says that then Jesus ministered to him. And the Jesus cast the spirit out of him, and the boy was made whole. Now, so we see several things here. First thing that we want to see and we want to make note of, you stay right where you are, but the first thing we want to make note of is that there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. There is no distance in the realm of the spirit. In other words, in the case of the woman, Jesus never went to see her daughter, but he was able to minister to the daughter from where he was. Because to cast out the devil, I don't have to touch you. I don't have to physically be in your presence. So there may be people you will intercede for that are not physically here. But you can, because there is no distance in the spirit. Second thing, that it is no disgrace that you attack. It is no disgrace that you are under attack. And a lot of believers take it personal and don't want to admit they're under attack. And would rather, you know, think that I'd be ashamed to admit. No, if the devil attacked Jesus, he will attack you. It is no shame or disgrace to acknowledge that I must be under attack. The thing that I want is to get free. And whoever can help me get free, help me free. I'm under attack. All right? There's no disgrace. And then the third thing is there is no doubt that you can be set free. There is no doubt that you can be set free. Amen. Now watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. You should be there by now. Because the Bible is clear. God wants us to know the tricks of the devil. All right? Verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So the Bible does not want me. God does not want me ignorant of the tactics and the tricks and the games and the schemes that the devil plays. He don't want me ignorant. And so what I need to know is the devil's tactics are designed where, number one, he needs a door. Everybody say he needs a door. Right? He can't just take place. You got to give him a door to go through. And we're going to talk about the doors that we give him. Number one, he needs the door. Number two is he wears you down. Everybody say he wears you down. And most people don't know when the devil is trying to wear you down. Because remember, his objective, since he cannot keep you out of heaven, we found out last week what he wants to do. Number one, he wants to embarrass God. Get you as a believer to be in open sin so he can point to you and say, look at that. He wants to embarrass God. Number two, what the devil wants to do is he wants to exercise authority in the earth. And he can only exercise authority if he's got somebody to exercise that authority through. Number three, the devil wants to extend pain and torment and trauma in the life of a believer. He wants to traumatize. He can't stand you because you are in the image of God. I don't care whether you're born again or not. A lot of sinners say, I don't want to get saved because you get saved and the devil going to come after. He's already after you. He does not care whether you're born again or not. Because you have been created in the image of God, you are on the satanic radar. Amen, amen. Number four, what he wants to do, he wants to eradicate the plan of God for your life. God has a plan for your life, but the devil wants to eradicate that plan. He wants to alter that plan. He wants to get you off base because that's the only way he can keep you from being fulfilled. And then number five, what the devil wants to do, he wants to have a vessel for the expression of perversion. See, a lying spirit can't lie unless he got somebody to lie through. Homosexual spirit cannot express himself unless he's got somebody to express it through. Amen, amen. So he's got to have a door. Everybody says he's got to have a door. Not only does he have what does want a door, but he wants to wear you down and then he wants to destroy you. Now let's look at the doors. Go to Lamentations chapter 5. Lamentations. All right. First door he tries to get through is the door of iniquity. Everybody say the door of iniquity. Now, very few believers know about iniquity. They heard the term in church, but they have the slightest idea is what is iniquity. Because if I understand this, it will really open my eyes to a lot of things that could be going on in my family. Everybody say iniquity. Iniquity. All right. Lamentation. Now, where is Lamentation? What page? Light Sword Bible? Huh? Oh. 10 what? 1052 in the Light Sword Bible. All right, now look there with me. Come on, you got to see this in verse 7. Iniquity has to do, hush person, I say, you got to listen to this. Got to listen, this is going to answer. This will answer a whole lot of questions about the foolishness that's going on in your family. This is going to answer a whole lot of questions about the continuous misbehavior that you see generation after generation. Iniquity has to do with an inherited weakness to sin. That's passed down through your family. You hear it on TV as called a generational curse. But the correct word for it is iniquity. It is an inherited weakness to sin in certain areas. And you can see it in family lines. From one generation to the next generation, you can see certain sins continuing to pop up. That is because we all inherit a weakness to sin. All right, watch this. In verse 7 it says, our fathers have sinned and are not. And we have borne their iniquities. Now, here's another note for time's sake. Exodus 20 and 5 talks about iniquities being passed down from generation to generation. We inherit, everybody inherits. You inherit one, I inherited from mine. Everybody inherits an iniquity trait. That is a certain sin that shows up in your family generation after generation after generation. Wow. That's why you see generation after generation after generation of pregnancies in family, unwed pregnancies. Generation after generation after generation of people in jail, incarcerated. Everybody get quiet. Everybody get quiet when I'm talking about that. Generation after generation after generation, you know, of crime and murder and violence. Generation after generation after generation after generation of weakness to sin that's been passed down. But the good news is Jesus came to eradicate it. Now it makes sense, the scripture that says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That is that sin weakness that you inherited. The Bible says Jesus took care of that. Now, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right. The door of iniquity. So the devil looks for weakness that's in your family. And that's what he wants to tempt you with. It may be alcoholism in your family. And he knows you have a weakness. That's why the Bible calls them familiar spirits, because they are familiar with your family. It may be a sexual sin that shows up generation after generation after generation. So he looks for the door. Everybody say he looks for the door. All right. The next door we want to talk about is the door of innocence. Everybody say the door of innocence. Now, the door of innocence is when you are exploited by somebody who trusts that you trusted. That is, somebody you trusted exposed you to something you had no business being exposed to. That in your innocence, you got exposed to sexual pleasure that your flesh had no business being exposed to at that time. Amen. Somebody touched you in a way that they shouldn't have touched you. Amen. And that boy's getting deep today, see? Somebody gave you a synthetic pleasure, exposed you to some drugs at an age of innocence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. At an age of innocence, you got exposed to what I like to call satanic propaganda. Now, here's what I mean by that. We trust, in school, they used to teach righteousness. Amen. They don't teach righteousness no more. They expose our kids to all kinds of propaganda that goes against the moral fabric and fibers and standard that we believe in. Things that you and I never saw until we got to be teenagers. They're looking at it right now. They're looking at it in the elementary classes, in the little baby classes, and I call it satanic propaganda. Okay. Now, I know people are gonna, I know you're going to throw a rock at me, but much love. See, when you start teaching me that it's good to talk to wizards and witches, you teach my little kid that it's good to talk to wizards and witches, you're giving him a respect for the devil. Okay. Door number one was what? The door of iniquity. Door number two is the door of innocence. Door number three would be the door of intention. Now, here's the door of intention is the person believes they're strong enough to stop and start when they want to. Amen. I can handle it. Amen. I can handle it. You know, have you heard people do that? So some of y'all in here said that one time. Come on, didn't you? Come on, let's own up to you. You thought you could handle it. Come on, show some hands. Yeah, you thought you could handle it and then found out you couldn't handle it. And that's the deception that the devil gives you to think that, yeah, you can take a hit and stop when you want to. And most addicts didn't start out declaring, I'm going to be a drug addict. But what happened is they thought they could handle it. Oh, what is that? Oh, what great anointing. Power. Great anointing. They thought they could handle it. You got it? Or you start courting a married man because you thought you could handle it. After all, it's better than a second job. Okay. Y'all want to play me. Act like, better second job. can handle it. Okay. Door number one was what? Come on. Door number one was what? Door of iniquity. Door number two is door of and door number three is the door of. All right. Can I work on your attention a little bit more? See, a lot of folks think they can handle stuff that they have no idea the power of it. And that's the door of pornography. I can handle it. Then those images get burned in your mind. And when you close your eyes, you see them. You open the door to the devil. And now he's got you undressing every woman you see. Now, it's difficult for you to make love with your wife because you're fantasizing what you thought you could handle. Young people, hunch them. If you guys sit next to a teenager, hunch them. Listen to it. Let's listen back. Yeah. See, like all that perverted music. All the perverted music, you think you can handle it. You think you can handle hearing all that somebody cussing and talking dirty and all that kind of stuff. And you, amen. You think, no. You think you can handle it, but those lyrics are going past your ears down on the inside of you. Can't handle it. Can't handle it. Playing occultic games. Can't handle it. I could just stay right here just a little bit longer, you understand? See, and that's why many times your parents are trying to tell you, don't listen to that garbage, boy. I don't wanna, but you go, no, I got no. That is, I like the beat. I ain't listening to the words. So you're constantly hearing words that are telling you to have sex and telling you the pleasure of it and all kind of perverted things to do having sex. And that's going over and over and over and over. And then before you know, you are singing it. So you are confessing that over your own life. And then all the devil is doing is setting you up for somebody to touch you in a way that you've not been touched before. Now you play out the song in real life. And you didn't know they was taping it. And now they play the tape. They pass the tape out to everybody. And now you become a slut. You thought you could. Isn't it good to have a real pastor to just deal with this? Okay. Final door is the door of ignorance. Everybody say the door of ignorance. No, that's not the final door, but that's the next door. Door of ignorance. Everybody say door of ignorance. Now, the door of ignorance is when people are totally unaware of satanic invitations. Totally unaware of it. Like folks call the psychics. You don't understand. That's the devil. The Bible strictly talks against that. And when you do that, now, you know, I'm not putting you down. Pastor, not trying to condemn you. See, because in several of these, I made mistakes. I mean, let's go back to door of intention. I had roommates in college. And of course, you know, we all roommates. And you know, I had an apartment. They came to stay with me. And when they came, you know, they said, well, can we listen to our music? Now, I'm a preacher, you understand? But can we listen to our music? And, you know, I can handle it. You follow me? I ain't going to put it on. But, you know, they paying part the rent. You know, you can't deny them that. I got to the point, I wanted them to go put it on. I wanted to hear me some Jerry Butler. I wanted to hear me some. I stand accused. Oh. I wanted me some Isaac Hayes. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to say out of ignorance, doors can be open. Out of intention, thinking you can handle something you can't handle. That's why the Bible tells you to flee it. Yeah. Now, going to his site, talk to psychics. And when you call the psychic hotline, three things happen. Somebody gets rich, they do. Somebody gets ripped off, you do. Somebody gets the rite of passage, the devil does. Amen. Praise the Lord. Out of ignorance. Out of ignorance, one day it wasn't a psychic, but I don't know what you call these people. People who think they talk to the dead. Oh, what you call them? Well, medium. Yeah, medium. Let's just call them medium, whatever y'all want to call. Anyway, I'm a preacher, I didn't know better. I did that because, you know, my brother died. I don't want to talk to my brother. And somebody told me they went to him and they talked to my brother, so I'm going to go talk to my brother too. I mean, I was a preacher, but I wasn't reading the Bible. Now, I bet you I could preach you till you shout. I could preach and just shout you off your seat, though. But I had no spiritual understanding. Come on now. I'm just being transparent now. And later on, then crazy things started happening in my life. I didn't know what was going on in my life. All this crazy stuff happening in my life. I didn't know I had opened the door of the devil to my life. But then later on, I found out and I closed the door. The door of ignorance. Following the door of ignorance is the door of infuriation. That is when I have this uncontrollable anger, ill temperament. That opens the door of the devil. Now, Dr. Bridget and I had a situation several months ago. A lady came to us, her and her husband, and he had been committing adultery on her, playing on her, and just embarrassing her publicly. She wanted to stay in the marriage, but she hated his guts, you know, because for doing her like that and doing the family like that. And what had happened is she had started having little epileptic seizures. My British, she would laugh off. Epileptic seizures. She started having these little seizures. And she'd just be sitting there talking, her eyes start fluttering, she started dribbling, and that sort of thing. And the doctors couldn't find anything wrong with her. And so by the Spirit, I knew what was going on. She was so angry with him, that she opened the door to the devil. Anger, ill temperament opens the door. And so I told her, I said, "Baby, let me talk to you. Forget him. If he got some dog in him, that's his problem. But right now, your anger with him has caused you to open the door for the devil in your life. And what's going on in your body is nothing but the devil encroachment." I said, "Now, so you've got to forgive him. But forgiving him ain't about letting him off the loose. It's about getting you to the place where you can be free and be ministered to." So I said, "You're going to forgive him?" She said, "Well," I said, and I had to work on her. "You got to forgive him because this is what's holding you bound." Amen. And then once I got her to forgive him, then I said, "Okay, now let me minister to you." I prayed for her, cast the devil out of her. And now, out of her soulish area. She's born again now. You got to understand this. Born again, but the devil had encroached in that area. You got it? And I came against the force of darkness. She has not had a seizure from that day to this day. It's been almost a year. I said several months ago, but it's been almost a year. And her and her husband, right, and ministered to him, got the dog out of him too. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But the point about it is the devil has to be evicted. Everybody says it's got to be evicted. Ooh, boy, y'all have worked me. I wasn't supposed to work this hard. All right, now. So he needs a door. He wants to wear you down. Everybody say he wants to wear you down. All right, now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The devil wants to wear you down. Now, he doesn't come with just one little temptation and leaves. Amen. But he comes over and over and over. Y'all remember the story of Joseph and, when Potiphar's wife came after him? Now, you have to read the story to find out. She didn't just come after the boy one day. Every day she was coming out, "Come lie with me, come lie with me." And Joseph even told him, "Well, you know, I can't do that. You'll be sinning against God." They ain't bother that girl one bit. She cared every day about her. "Come lie with me." He wants to wear you down. He wants to wear you down mentally. And just saying no one time doesn't cause the devil to leave. He's trying to wear you down. So, young girl, you're trying to keep your virginity. And Mr. Tall, dark and handsome, is talking to you about his needs and how much he loves you. And he wants to marry you one day. He's trying to wear you down. Amen.
Okay. Second, what did I tell you? Go. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just showing you scripturally that's the MO of the devil. That's how he operates. He wants to wear you down mentally. He wants to wear you down physically. Everybody say physically. And there are many people who are under attack and you can't sleep. The devil knows if he wears you down to keep you from sleeping, keep you from getting your rest, then ultimately he can work on your mind. All right, there in verse, all right, verse 7, it says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation that was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Everybody say buffet. Now, buffet has to do with a continuous action. It's like a wave on the sea, continuous action. So Paul was saying, I'm continuously being struck by the devil, continuous striking. That's what the buffet means. So he wants to wear me down mentally. He wants to wear me down physically. And he wants to wear me down socially. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me help your parent just a little bit. So hunt your kid next to you, because this is a passage in the scripture that they don't understand your commitment to. And you got to find this one. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Many times children are thinking, well, you just don't want me to have no friends. You just don't want me to have no friends. You can't have no fun. That is because they see something you don't see. All right, verse 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Amplify says this way, be not so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion and associations, or friends corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. You cannot run with the wrong crowd and hold up your righteousness. They will change you before you change them. Thus saith the Lord. So he wants to wear you down. Everybody say the devil wants to wear you down. The devil wants to wear you down socially by making acceptable what the Bible says is unacceptable. So right now, you know, the devil has this message out for everybody that homosexuality is a sexual orientation controlled by God and not by you. So God made you this way. And so many times our need to be accepted socially causes us to compromise righteousness. Okay, ain't got no amen on that. That's quite a... Okay. Now, since y'all work me this hard, I really have 7 steps to how to get free from the devil, but I ain't got enough time to go through them. So I'm going to just have to go through them real quick. I'm going to have to stay on the one that I really have to work on, how to get him out of your life. Yeah. First thing you got to do is be honest with yourself. Everybody say, be honest with yourself. To be honest with yourself, that's the mental resolve that says, okay, I'm in a crisis. If I stay on this track, I ain't going to make it. The pastor already showed me in the Bible I'm on the path of destruction. Nobody knows it but you right now, but you have to realize. Kind of like the prodigal son. He was down in the hog pen. He had to understand. He said, look, I'm going down. It ain't getting no better. Second thing is what I have to do is I have to repent because I've sinned against God. In other words, nobody may not know it, but God knows it. So I'm going to go to God with it. Number 3, I have to make restitution where possible. In other words, if I've offended others, then I must make restitution. Number 4, I must renounce the open door. In other words, once I know the door is open, I go to God. Jesus, I made you Lord of my life, and I'm so sorry I opened those doors in my life. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for the knowledge that I have now. And Satan, I tell you right now, my mind is off limits to you. I close the door. I repent for having gone to the psychic. I repent for having done this. I repent. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for this knowledge that I have. And Satan, I'm off limits. I'm God's property. That's closing the door. Next thing I got to do is I got to evict the devil. If I say evict the devil. Now, go to Matthew chapter 8. I evict the devil with the words of my mouth, with faith-filled words. Everybody say, with words. Now, that's the thing about it. Most people don't understand. They want to pray for the devil. Pray for the devil. I can't pray for the devil to get off of you. You don't pray the devil off. No, you don't pray. You take authority over it. I want you to pray for my own prayer. No, if you got a devil, we're going to show you what to do. Because you have to be able to do this yourself. As a believer, you have the power. Oh, okay, come on. Anybody getting blessed? I know you probably learned some things today, haven't you? All right, look there in verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. Everybody say, with his word. All right, now, I need you to go with me in your Bibles to another passage. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, because I want to see that. I want to know how, spiritually, how do I do this? Because it requires a mental resolve. I understand I got to surrender. I want this. I want to be free. Secondly, is the spiritual resistance. This is how you resist the devil. The Bible says resist the devil, he'll flee from you, but most believers don't know how to do that. All right, watch this. Where did I tell you to go? Luke chapter 10, look at verse 17. Now, here are people who are not born again, but look at the power they exhibit over the devil. Verse 17, it says, and the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now that's the Bible. So that means nobody can put a voodoo on you. Nobody can hex you. Nobody can fix you. Because the Bible says nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you don't have to be afraid of anybody doing anything to you. Now, Mark chapter 16, and then I'm going to close. Mark chapter 16, I'm going to close. All right, anybody get blessed today? Yeah. Oh, my. All right. Mark chapter 16. Boy, why y'all work a brother like y'all working today? I thought surely when I came here, this would be an easy class. All right, watch this. Verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Everybody say, in his name. We cast out devils. Okay, I got to go and wrap it up. So here's how you evict the devil. You evict the devil, number one, through the power of the word. When Jesus was attacked by the devil, he quoted the word to him. That's why I teach you out of the Bible, so you will understand what the word of God says. So when the devil starts talking to you, because that's how he works, he doesn't show up in a red suit and a pitchfork, but he starts talking to you, sending negative thoughts to your mind, telling you you're not going to make it. You might as well quit. You might as well shoot yourself. You might as well jump off the bridge. Nobody cares. All of those are negative thoughts, what the Bible calls fiery darts. And when that happens, you have to open your mouth and you have to say what God's word says about you. I shall live and not die. You have to say that's what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. He said what the word of God, he says, it is written. So you have to know what's written so you'll know how to protect your. Because every time I do that. What's that? Tiny what? Thanks, then, Tim. All right. I got about one more minute to go. I'm out of time on the clock. But I can't leave you hanging like this. I just can't. So listen. So through the authority of the word, I got to know the word. So when the devil starts, I'm not going to make it. You're going under. Then that's when I open my mouth and says, I'm blessed. That's when I begin to tell him nothing. No weapon formed against me prospers. Seed of the righteous is delivered. All those things. I have to know what the word of God says. That's why I teach you the word. That's why I take the time to take you through the scripture, because I want you to be equipped when the devil shows up. When the devil shows up, you go, ha ha, Pastor, told me you were going to do that. Got it? Secondly, through the power of the blood. Everybody say the power of the blood. Now, that's what most people don't understand. They don't understand about the blood of Jesus. They just think it's a song, but there is supernatural power in the blood of Jesus that restricts, restrains, and totally, annihilates the devil. Everybody say the power of the blood. Now make a note in Hebrews 4:19. Can't go there, but it says, the Bible says, that's the blood of Jesus that purges my conscience. So this is how I get over the images that I have in my mind, that I put there ignorantly through pornography and through the things that I've gone through. This is how I overcome the emotional stress that I've got. I'm in love with somebody I got nobody being and no business being in love with. I have feelings for people I ain't got no business having feelings for. You got feelings for another man and you're a man. You ain't got, that ain't gone. Well, how do I overcome that? With the blood of Jesus. Well, how do I apply that, preacher? With my mouth, I say, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus, that it purges my conscience, my thinking. It purges my emotions. You have to do that over and over, and you get free. You know, see, it's a real thing. When you get emotionally trapped, it's a real thing. But you get free through the blood of Jesus. But how you get free through the blood of Jesus, you're opening your mouth and you're saying it. And there is power in the blood. The third thing I do is through the power of his name. The devil can't stand you saying, in the name of Jesus. Oh, you talking about? The Bible says when you say it, he will flee. He cannot stand that. He cannot stand you saying, in Jesus' name. He cannot handle you saying, in the name of Jesus. Because when you do that, he knows it's not you by yourself. He knows all of heaven is backing you up. That name is so powerful, I can stand here and talk about the name of Jesus and affect something across the city. Years ago, you know, I first started teaching this and got studying this. You know, everybody kind of think I was off there. Boy, he reading the Bible too much. You know what I'm saying? That's okay. I knew I was on it. And then one day something happened to one of my cousins. One of my cousins was overcome by the devil. And I mean, really, he was in a possessed state. He was cussing Jesus out, cussing God out, and throwing men around, men that were twice his size. He was throwing them around like toothpicks. And his mother said, call Ira. You know, Ira been teaching all this casting out devil stuff. Call Ira. And they called me, and then, you know, in old days, I said, come on, devil, let's go. You understand? So they called me, and he was over in South Park. I was in Inwood Forest, so that's about, 30-40 miles. And I said, put the phone to his ear. Boy, when they put the phone to his ear, I heard my cousin cussing Jesus, talking so dirty, you understand? But I knew it wasn't him. I knew it was the spirit that had overtaken him. So I started laughing. I said, you didn't think you were going to meet me today, did you? Because, see, I ain't scared of the devil, you understand? And so I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, you come out of him now in Jesus' name. Now, look, I'm way over here in Inwood Forest. He over there in South Park, and the devil come out of that boy. Come out of that boy so that the folk that were around, I could hear him on the phone going, oh. And then my cousin started pointing over in the corner. He said, it's still here. So I said, I couldn't make any sense out of him. I said, put your girlfriend on the phone. He put his girlfriend on the phone. I said, are you saved? She said, no, I'm not saved. I said, baby, let me get you saved. I led her in the prayer, got her saved. I said, all right, now you are able to cast out the devil. She said, right now? I say, right now. You point over there in that on the corner where he's pointing at, and you say, in the name of Jesus, you get out of this house. Listen, and she did, and the devil left, and she joined church the next week, and she's still a member, Kathy Taylor. Now, when people are set free, and we understand the power of God to set free, there's always several predictable reactions. One reaction is the reaction of praise that you just saw. It's something about being free and remembering that you were free, that you were freed, that bursts of praise on the inside. And I think that's what the devil has done. He has caused people to be distorted about where they are today. Because only when you can really remember what God brought you out of. You have not always been like you are. And so your praise is restricted because you forgot. Secondly, there is the perspective that you have when you've been set free. It is then you can understand what others are going through. You're not as judgmental as others because you've been there. You know what it is to be in love with somebody you ain't got nobody being in love with. You know what it is to want to quit smoking and crack and can't stop. You're not judgmental. You don't look down your nose at other folk because you know, save the grace of God, that's where you were. Third thing that happens, there's a passion. And that is why the believers don't have as much fire as they used to have about the things of God. That's why you have to beg folk, because you've forgotten that if somebody hadn't prayed for you, somebody didn't have you on their mind, if somebody hadn't invoked the power of God on your behalf, you would still be in the gutter. But oh, if you ever can keep it fresh on your mind, I'm here because of the grace of God. I'm here because Jesus set me free. I'm here because it was not my goodness. It was nothing but the blood of Jesus. My mind is free now because of his blood. Hallelujah. Now listen. Listen, in order to get free, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to minister to you, and then we're going to make the appeals. I don't want anybody walking, nobody moving. Listen, but there has to be a willingness. There are some areas in your life you may be struggling with. God wants to set you free today. There has to be a willingness to say, okay, I'm willing to consent to God's way. Now, you know, you may want to stand for somebody else. But I know that this is a moment when God wants me to do more than just close a good message. But I want to minister. But I want anybody walking. Nobody's moving. Stand to your feet. If you say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I need some deliverance in my own life. I'm staying praying for somebody else. And it's not about them. It's about you. Maybe you've been trapped. You've got your hand in something you didn't need your hand into. Maybe you're standing for somebody else. Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to minister to you, because remember, Jesus never had to touch the girl that was vexed. Just by the power of the word. That power is present today. Now, in the name of Jesus, God, I take authority right now over every demonic assignment over the people of God in this place. Now, God, they're standing to their feet acknowledging a need for deliverance and freedom in their own lives or the lives of others. So, devil, I speak to you now by the authority of the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, and by the authority of the word. You foul, tormenting spirit, you deaf and dumb spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. Now, in Jesus' name, you must, in the name of Jesus, cease your torment, cease your assignment. Spirit of suicide, I break that power in the name of Jesus and declare the blood of Jesus, canceling every generational curse in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you for your blood. That your blood now covers the thought life, covers the emotions, repairing hurt emotions. In the name of Jesus. Now, devil, you cannot and you will not come back to torment the believers. And so, Father, I thank you for it. Call it done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody quickly be seated. Everybody quickly be seated. While heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, believers are still praying, I have several invitations. Invitation number one is to be born again. Pastor, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I'm not right with God, but I want to be right with God. What must I do? I want to pray for you right where you're seated. Not going to embarrass you, but I just want to know who I'm praying for. So all over the building, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, that's me. Include me in the prayer. I want to be born again. I want to be a Christian. I'm not going to embarrass you.